Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, again tonight. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Hope you had a good afternoon. Hope you were able to maybe squeeze in a Baptist nap. Grateful that you woke up from that Baptist nap and came on back to church. Thank you. Let's pray. Then we'll read the text and try to say some things from it with the Lord's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for another day of life and another opportunity to glorify and worship you. And we pray as we read your word that you would impart to us understanding, give your word to us clarity. Help us not to only understand it intellectually, but understand it spiritually, and may we apply these truths, or may we see these truths evident in our life because the Holy Spirit indwells us. And so, God, we pray that we would use these truths to evaluate our own selves to see if these things are true, and if this fruit is actually being produced in us by the Spirit. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us in everything we do. We need you in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Verse 22 of Galatians chapter number 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's God's word, and all God's people said. Amen. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, or we could say that these are the characteristics of those who are born again by the power of God. Those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born into the family of God, will display and will be characterized by this fruit, or the facets of this fruit. Now, I do want to just remind you again at the outset that this fruit, every part of it, every facet of it, every section of it, is produced in everyone who truly believes on Jesus Christ. And so things are not lopsided. The Spirit is producing all of this in every believer if the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, right? So if the Holy Spirit's inside of me, the proof of that is the fruit that the Holy Spirit is producing in me. And the fruit that He is producing in me must be this fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so, I don't want you to misunderstand, because that's always, I think, the error that I'm afraid of. We might think that when we go through the fruit of the Spirit, it's a list whereby a person can, by their own effort, try to be like a Christian's supposed to be. That's not what this is. These are not things you react to because you must go and do them. But it is that which you find yourself doing. Does that make sense? When we speak of these things, I don't want you to say, well, I've got to go do that. I want you to look at your spiritual condition and see if that's evident in you or not. Because it is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do this. And if a person professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not enough. There will be, to one degree or another, the evidence of that reality by this fruit. Amen? So each facet of the fruit of the Spirit is therefore linked to the other facets so that none of them operate in isolation. So that if the Spirit is producing love, He is also producing joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, and they all they're all dependent on one another. If there's not love, like we said last week, if there's not love, there won't be long-suffering. If there's not joy, there won't be peace. And so they're connected together. They're not given to us in isolation. They're like a cluster of grapes. One cluster that functions together. And these fruits are working together in harmony in our lives. So far, we've examined love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And tonight we want to look at gentleness. Now, as I said last week, they're almost like in sections here or in categories. The first three, love, joy, and peace, have an internal emphasis, while long-suffering and gentleness and goodness have an external emphasis. So last week, long-suffering had a context of our interaction with others, and so also does gentleness. The word gentleness means, in the Greek, the quality of being helpful or beneficial. It literally means kindness or generosity. It's very often translated kindness. It means to show kindness to others. To be gentle is to show kindness. To be kind. Now, we might look at long-suffering. You remember long-suffering said we're not supposed to retaliate and we're not supposed to get back. We're supposed to suffer long with other people. And we might hear that and we might conclude, well, what I'll do is I'll just avoid those people. I just won't talk to them. If I don't talk to them, then I won't say anything that would offend them. Right? And so what I'll do, I'll just avoid them. I won't say anything to them. And I won't say anything that might indicate that I lack long suffering for what they do or don't do, or what I think they should do or what they shouldn't do. But when we come to gentleness or kindness, this part of the fruit of the Spirit will not allow us to do that. For not only are we supposed to be long suffering toward them, we are to express kindness toward them. Right? Be kind to them, not avoid them, and not ignore them. So let me give you three things tonight that I hope will help us to understand this facet of gentleness. Number one, the grounds of gentleness. On what grounds are we to be gentle or kind to one another? I want you to listen to Romans 11:22. This is what Paul says. He says, "Behold, therefore, ponder, stop and look and behold, therefore, the goodness," translated here that way, but it's kindness. "Therefore, the goodness or kindness and the severity of God." So, behold two things: the goodness, the kindness of God, and the severity of God. Because God's both, right? He's kind and He's severe. "Behold, therefore, the goodness or kindness and severity of God on them which fail severity. But toward thee, goodness or kindness. So if thou continue in His goodness or kindness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." So Paul is pointing us to the kindness of God. And kindness or gentleness is found in the very character of who God is. God acts toward His people in a gentle or kind manner. And even though His people rebel against Him, and even though His people disobey Him, He continues to act toward them in gentleness or kindness. It is true tonight, I think, and I hope that you would agree, that every single one of us here are either under the kindness of God or the severity of God. Say amen. And all of us are deserving the severity. Have you ever stopped and thought about the kindness of God toward you? God has every reason in the world to be severe toward us. God has every reason to cast us into utter darkness. God has every reason to be done with us, to punish us. But instead of being severe toward us, He's what? He's kind toward us. He's gentle toward us. Why? Because He's a God of kindness. So, as God has treated us with not severity but kindness, our gentleness, we who are His children are to reflect that kindness we have received from Him to others. There are times I don't want God acting toward me the way I act toward others. Amen? As we receive the kindness or the gentleness of God, we reflect that back to others that are around us. So I want you to know, if I deserve severity, yet I'm receiving gentleness or kindness from God, gentleness then is unmerited and unconditional. Say amen. If I am receiving the kindness of God, I'm receiving it without merit and without condition and undeserving. I don't deserve God to be kind to me. I haven't done anything for God to be kind to me. And there are no conditions I have to meet for God to be kind to me. And just as I have not merited God's gentleness, and just as I have not done anything conditionally to receive God's gentleness, and just as I am undeserving of His gentleness and kindness and compassion on me, I should then not expect others to merit it from me. Say amen. Are you with me? Why would I make others merit my kindness, or place conditions on my kindness toward them, or deserve my kindness, when I have done none of that with God? You tracking with me? We must not wait for others to fulfill certain conditions and maintain a level of merit before we exercise gentleness. Well, I'd be kind to them if they'd straighten up. If they would do what I think they ought to do, if they would take my advice, I'd show them some kindness. God didn't treat you that way. We must not even wait for others to show kindness to us before we show kindness to them. Right? Well, why would I want to show any kindness to them? They've never shown any kindness to me. Say amen. Well, why would I want to send them a birthday card? They ain't never sent me a birthday card. Somebody help me. You ever think like that? No? The thing is, God does not require us to fulfill any conditions of His kindness first in order for Him to be kind to us, and neither should we. Sometimes we withhold our kindness to get the person to do what we want them to do. How many are glad God has not withheld from you His kindness? We should not either. You see, the problem is, if I only exercise kindness toward those who love me and who are kind to me, I've done nothing any more than a lost, unregenerate person can do. If I only love those who love me and I only am kind to those who are kind to me, I haven't evidenced anything in the slightest way that I have the Spirit of God in me, because lost people do it that way. If the Holy Spirit is reigning in me and producing this fruit of gentleness and kindness in me, then I will be kind to those who don't love me and who are not first kind to me. So the question that I must ask myself, and the question you should ask yourself, is simply this. If I say, the Spirit of God indwells me, and He is busy making me more and more into the image of God, then why do I not look more like God than I do? Why is the fruit of the Spirit not evident in my life? And when it's not, why am I not bothered by that and convicted by that and then repent of that? You with me? So the idea here is God is gentle. The grounds of our kindness is God is kind to us, and so we should also be kind to others if we are His people. And I think we all could say tonight we could be more kind to one another. Number two. Not only do we see here, firstly, the grounds of gentleness, but I want to talk just for a few minutes on the grace of gentleness. Paul says in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. How will God show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus? So God reveals His riches in grace by extending to us unworthy, undeserving sinners through the work of Jesus Christ. And if we are going to be kind one to another, if I'm going to be kind to you and you're going to be kind to me and we're going to be kind to one another, we have to operate in the realm of grace. What does that mean? That means what grace means. It's receiving what is not deserved. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's the story of my life. I am what I am beyond what I deserve. I have what I have beyond what I deserve. I am treated by God far beyond what I deserve. And that means if I'm going to be kind to someone, I have to extend to them grace. Which means I have to give them intentionally what I feel they fail to deserve. It's not that I stick my head in the sand. I don't think they deserve it. Yet, It's not based upon what they deserve. It's based upon how I receive kindness from God by grace. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to be kind to them whether they deserve it or not. They deserve severity. They deserve me to do my worst. But God says, give them grace. I said last week, I think, I marvel that those of us who have so richly received the grace of God are so stingy in extending to others the grace of God. It just seems strange to me. And here's the deal. Your flesh wants to give those people what they deserve. But the Spirit that lives inside of you wants you to give them grace. And so in a sense, gentleness is actually the manifestation of us being under control. I want them to get severity, yet I'm going to control that, not give them what they deserve, instead giving them what they don't deserve. They deserve a piece of your mind. Be careful. I know you. You ain't got a whole lot to be giving away. They deserve me to tell them exactly the way it is. But I'm not going to give them what they deserve. I'm going to give them what they don't deserve. I'm going to be kind to them. Isn't that what God does for us? And let me say this. If you and I make it to heaven one day, we will be there by grace, and we will remain there for all eternity by grace. You'll never, ever deserve to be there. And you will not have done one thing to comply to the standards of entrance and life in heaven. You will never ever do anything to comply to the standards of entrance into heaven. But Jesus did. Somebody else paid the cost for you so that you could be there. You didn't. God should take every single one of us and toss us into the very hottest part of hell. But He doesn't. By grace, instead of tossing us into the hottest part of hell, He's kind to us. And He forgives us of all of our transgressions against Him. So God is kind, God is gentle to the righteous, even though as God's people, we are just as unthankful and evil as the wicked are. Say amen. And sometimes even worse. Yet, God delivers us from our sins. He heals us from our spiritual death. He blesses us with new life in Jesus Christ. And He works in us the glory of eternal salvation. He does all that for us. It is the kindness of God when we haven't deserved it and we do things that would further magnify our undeservingness of it. It's not like God says, listen, if you'll straighten up, I'll be kind to you. And we straighten up. We don't straighten up. We still rebel every day. We still sin every day. Single day, yet God is kind to us through the work of Christ. I'm going to be real honest with you tonight. I cannot for the life of me understand people in the church who harbor bitterness, who hold grudges, and who are cruel and hostile toward others in the church. I cannot fathom. And my question to them is, where in the world is the Holy Spirit? You claim to be a child of God with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, yet you have bitterness and grudges and cruel and hostile toward others, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Where's the Spirit? That's my question. Can I be honest with you tonight? Some people I have met in church, people that I have met in church are some of the meanest people I've ever met. Where in the world is the Holy Spirit? God's redeemed are to be kind to one another. They are kind to one another. Not wanting to hurt one another, wanting to be gentle with each other. Why is it that those who have found forgiveness and grace don't extend forgiveness and grace to others? Why is that? We are to handle one another. We are to handle one another gently. Say amen. Understand this. Why should I handle you gently, and why should you handle me gently, and why should we handle one another gently? Because Christ died for us. We are His. When I look at you, I am looking at God's workmanship, His possession. I better handle you gently. Either you have received the kindness of God as a guilty sinner and you reflect that to those who are around you, or you haven't received the kindness of God as a guilty sinner and you are in a position where you can't reflect what you don't have to reflect. The grace of God and the gentleness of God never ever comes to an end. It continues all the days of my life and into the life to come. Now, number three. We see here the grounds of gentleness is in the attributes of God. The very character of God is He is gentle toward us, and so we are to be gentle toward others. The grace of gentleness is that we extend gentleness by grace. We don't give people what they deserve, but we have received grace, and therefore we extend grace. And number three, I want to talk about just a minute the gesture of gentleness. What does it look like? What is it really? How is it expressed? Now you know what gentleness or kindness really is, don't you? It's love in action. Like the old Scotsman said, it's better felt than telt. Say amen. You can tell somebody, right? You can vocalize your kindness, you're going to be kind and all this, but it's when you do it that kindness is a reality. Better felt than telt. Kindness is an action. So how do I know God loves me? And how do I know that God is kind to me? Because He reveals that kindness toward me in what He does for me. How would you feel about a God that you had a Bible and the Bible said God is kind, God is kind to His people, God is gentle to His people, and yet God never does anything for you? Would you believe that? So who loved us first? Me, you, or God? God loved you first, right? And because He loved you first, what did He do for you? He gave Himself entirely to die on the cross for your salvation. And He did that even though you did not deserve that. And He did that even though you will never deserve His redeeming love. But still, Christ loves us with an everlasting, unfailing love. And although we sin against Him, and although we still sin against His people, He doesn't destroy us. Think about this. When did Christ act in kindness toward us? While we were yet sinners. And although we sin against Him, He doesn't destroy us. If the kindness of God did not express itself in Him doing things for us, we would all still be hopelessly lost. If He didn't go to the cross out of His kindness, we'd be lost. So kindness then is sacrificing our time, sacrificing our energy, sacrificing our money to spend on others that are undeserving of it. Because of what Christ has done for me out of His kindness. And here's what happens. When we are acting toward one another in gentleness or kindness, the same thing happens among us that happened when Christ acted toward us in gentleness and kindness. When Christ went to the cross, what did He do? He made peace between me and God. And when we are kind to one another, guess what happens in the church? There's peace with one another. You know when there's not peace? When we're bitter toward one another, when we're hostile toward one another, when we're cruel to one another. Not when we're kind to one another. There's peace with brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And the peace that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ is really the evidence that there's peace between us and God. And if we say there is a lack of peace between me and brother so-and-so or me and sister so-and-so, how could I ever say there's peace between me and God? If there's something between me and Ken that we can't get settled, we won't get settled, how could I ever say that there's peace between me and God when there's not peace between me and my brother? If our peace with one another is truly the work of the Spirit of God in us, and our peace with God is the work of Christ for us, then only God gets the glory. I hear stories. Do you hear stories from other churches? I hear stories of pastors and deacons who are at war with one another. You ever hear about that? I hear stories of churches that are divided and they're fighting and fussing with one another. I hear stories of church members being cruel to other church members. And you know what I do? I pause and I thank God that it's not that way at Lakeview. That it's not that way between me and the deacons. And I thank Him because it is only because of Him it's that way. It's not because we're good people. It's not because we're friendly people. It's because God dwells in us. It's God that makes us that way. So I thank Him. He gets the glory. The only peace we have is through the kindness of God for us and the kindness that God has worked in us and is working through us. You see, if I'm kind to you, it's God working in and through me. If you're kind to me, it's God working in and through you. And all of us together, God working in and through us, makes us a kind, gentle people and brings peace. Can I remind you as I close that the fruit of the Spirit grows quietly and grows gently. You know, some things are loud and showy. The gifts of the Spirit at the church at Corinth, those things were loud and showy. So sometimes the presence of things are known by the noises that they produce. For example, we know that fireworks are going off when we hear what? Loud explosions, or we see explosions in the sky. We know someone is hurt or ill because we hear sirens going off of the EMS going to pick them up. But I will bet you nobody in this auditorium tonight has woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, "What is all that racket? Do you hear that apple tree growing? Do you hear them apples being produced? I wish they could just hold it down." No. They grow silently, they grow quietly, they grow gently. And the fruit of the Spirit grows that way in us as well. That's why we have to be long-suffering with one another. And if we're long-suffering with one another, guess what? We'll be kind to one another. You see, what God is doing through the work of the Holy Spirit is making us slowly more like Christ. And He works that quietly in us through His Word. So what we have to do with this kind of text tonight is we need to examine ourselves and see if we truly have the Spirit of God in us by examining the fruit of the Spirit that is being produced in us. Or at least when we feel like that is lacking in our lives, we are repentant. We are sorry that it is not being produced the way it should be. Right? Can you think tonight, don't raise your hand, can you think tonight of people that you have been harsh with, unkind to? Did it bother you? To the point you had to repent and had to go to the person and ask forgiveness? Because the Holy Spirit won't let you sleep? Come on. Do you all have the same Spirit that's living in me? I think it's the same Spirit. Say amen. There's one Spirit. If He indwells me, He indwells you. So, when I'm not kind, when I am kind, it's God working in me. When I'm not kind, that's on me. But I just can't get away with that. God won't let me get away. You know why? Because it's unChristlike. God wants me to be Christ-like. So I have to go repent to Him, apologize to the person, and pray that the Spirit would help me be kind, would produce that kindness toward others greater in me. Or at least I would not be such a barrier. Say amen. You know, Paul tells us that we never do that which we would like to do, and we never do that which we should do to its fullest extent because the flesh and the spirit war against one another. I'll be glad one day when that war is over and we are in glorified bodies before our Lord, worshiping and praising Him in perfect peace with God's people. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Help us to use it for our good and for Your glory. And we'll thank You for that in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.